When the moon comes over the mountain, la 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 la. Hello, everybody.
And good afternoon to you, Mary.
Thank you, Bob. And now, what's new, Bob?
Well, Mary, there's not much new on the war fronts this afternoon. Here at home, we've got the budget message. And locally, it's the Bob and Ray Show. And it's now, how about some of them old songs that you do so well?
Cut it out, Bob.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Did you see the size of the budget?
Yes,
the president's budget.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know it's bigger than a Sears Roebuck catalog?
It is, that's right. In fact, they had to print longer papers yesterday to get it all in there.
It looks like a Manhattan telephone directory, and my name was in there. It said they have to get $14 or $15 more billion.
Out of you?
Well, no, but I'm included. Yeah. So I had my name in the budget this year, which is a feather in my bonnet, for sure.
I think it is.
This afternoon, incidentally, this is Matt Nath with Bob and Ray, of course.
Those are Ken and Bill over there.
Those. Yeah, I thought this afternoon we'd take up...
Please.
Bill, you got something important to say? Yes.
Did you read Neil O'Hara's column in the Boston Traveler last night?
I always read the Boston Traveler every night from page through page.
Well, in...
One through two.
In reference to the president's budget, he said that if you took a $1,000 bill...
Yeah?
...piled them up to the top of the John Hancock building...
Yeah?
...you'd have just $1 billion.
Isn't that amusing, huh?
And how can anybody dispute that statement? Who has that many $1,000 bills, and who can stack them up beside the John Hancock
bill? How much does the president want? 71?
I don't know.
He wants 71 John Hancock buildings.
Is that what he wants? 71
John Hancock buildings.
What's he going to do with all those
I believe
Hancock?
Mr. Wilson has a pearl of wisdom to add here, friends.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen.
The budget also calls for over $400 from every single solitary person in the United States, men, women, and children, and I'm worried... to this extent, how is Kenneth Jr. going to raise over $400 this year on the paper route he has?
It's up to you, Daddy.
Thank you very much.
Any deficit that Jr. has, Dad will have to make up.
So much for world affairs and politics. We've concluded the educational portion of our program.
No, we haven't. We've just begun the educational part
of
the show.
Yeah, well, we're going to delve, as long as we're on the money subject, we thought today we would delve into that a little bit more deeply.
And that, briefly, is this, friends. Now that... of course, money comes and goes so quickly through our wallets and our pocketbooks and purses, paper bags, under the mat, wherever you want to keep it. It doesn't last. Oh,
will you save those pennies and laugh for the program audience, please?
We thought
pick them up quicker that way.
We would discuss ways and means whereby you at home can make money.
You see, we all have talents of some sort.
That's right.
And those talents can be used to good advantage to give you a little bit of pin money for extra necessities that you may need.
Now, they're all sorts of ways of taking your spare time and converting it into ready cash. For instance, how many of you have thought of melting down a surplus or excess rubber bands that you have around the home? Now, if you... I know it's a challenge to melt them down because there is a strong odor attached. However, once you've melted them all down and the smell has disappeared, you have a big glob of rubber, which, of course, is pretty scarce on the world market. Now, one lady... In Medford writes to say that she made $1.17 during the month of November by that method. Think of it.
I think another very easy method of making pin money at home is to develop little gifts that you can make out of inexpensive materials that you'll find laying around. For instance, paper clips make very nice belts when they're put together and worked into a fine pattern which you can obtain by writing to Bob and Ray. The paperclip pattern sells for the infinitesimally low price of $15. Now, Ken and Bill at the organ and piano. No, but these are just a couple of ways that you can add to your income.
Of course. Now, another thing.
We'll have to speak a little bit louder because they're talking pretty loud on the other side of the studio there.
Now, Bob and I don't want to arbitrarily set down the rule
that you can't
all
commit.
People, including musicians, fellow employees of this grand station, everyone will be...
We don't want to have to tell you to stay up.
What am I trying to say, Bob?
I don't know. What are you trying to say?
I don't know. Well, anyway, getting back to making money. Now, another way, how many times during the past year have you gone through a bureau drawer and have found there just thousands of little tidbits that could be cashed for money, eh?
Those little cakes of soap you've stolen from hotels on trips to New York. Save enough of those, turn them in, and you can get money for them.
Just think of all the aftershave lotion, men, that you've accumulated and have stuck away under your shirt somewhere. Eh? Well, now that's pretty valuable on the market today. Mm-hmm. I think they put it in the back of atomic bombs.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, but we can check into it for you, the listener.
But it just shows you, though, how about old watch bands? Old leather watch bands
that
you've removed.
Reclaim those leather watch bands. The buckles are perfectly good.
The leather could be rejuvenated, I'm sure. So get about it. Don't sit around the house there waiting for money to come to you.
There's money to be made, but you've got to go out and use your ingenuity, friend.
Let's work. Let's get out there, eh?
Let's all do our part. Now, Ken and Bill.
Now, just a moment.
Did you request this?
No, I introduced this song as saying you take the A train to get to the Yankee Stadium in New York, and somebody corrected me and said you don't. Now, does anybody know what train you take to get up to the Yankee Stadium?
Take the BMT.
No.
Take the BMT to get up there.
Well, I'm where does the A train take us? Well, let's listen to Ken and Bill. No. This is New York. By Billy Strayhorn. Now
Who?
We have a Billy Strayhorn.
Well, did he write that?
Yes, sir.
Say, Ray, I would like to thank you publicly for the fine way that you boys treated me at your milkman school this morning.
Did you get anything out of it?
Had a very pleasant 2 hours there, and I do feel that I'm fully equipped to become a milkman. Are these overalls I bought all right?
Let's look at them.
A slight change from what you were wearing, Tex.
Oh, those look pretty appropriate.
I thought they looked
blue
like
color.
Milkmen's overalls. I got to keep wearing these high heel boots, though.
Well, why is that? Can't
get
them
off? I don't feel natural without them, you know.
I see. I
can get them off.
Oh, I thought maybe you
No,
did.
No, I've taken them off.
You have?
Sure.
Well, now, just for the sake of history, when was the last time you removed those boots?
Oh, I believe it was a week or so ago.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
But anyway, it was a very good course, and I think it was well worth the $50 you fellas charged me.
It was $100 we charged you for the course.
Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh. $50, you see, was your entrance fee. $50 was for Bob and my time that we gave you so generously, two hours.
Yeah, I remember that. That was fine.
Let's Somebody threw a paper cup across the studio. Now, something about that that lends an air of informality to the program that we particularly don't strive for. Incidentally, why do they make paper cups like that? So that people can throw them.
Or stamp on them and make a big noise, huh?
There should be some way of overcoming that menace. But, Bob, I see that you have a commercial in it.
No, I don't. There's only one today, and I've willed it to you.
Thank you. Save time, save energy, save money. Now, who doesn't want to save all those things? Well, everyone does, don't they? We all want to save time, of course, and energy we want to save as much as possible, and money goes without saying. So why don't you fly through Royal Air Coach at rates that are actually lower than rail? You fly and pay absolutely the lowest fares to anywhere. Yes, friends, you can fly with Royal Air Coach to California, only $75. Honolulu for $184. Miami, only $34. And Chicago, $24. Now, don't delay. Call Royal Air Coach right now. Call Miss Ray. That's R-A-Y, Miss Ray at hand.
Same way you spell your name, isn't it?
Yes. Very good thought, Bob.
I thought it was good.
Call Miss Ray at Hancock 66640. For your reservations and for the lowest fares to anywhere. You'll fly in luxurious four-engine Douglas liners and Swift Curtis Curveyors. You'll have tempting snacks served free by your stewardess, and you'll be able to take your baggage with you, also free. Royal Air Coach Agency handles reservations for scheduled and non-scheduled flights, so pick up the phone and make your reservation.
I believe Harry Shedd's friend is coming in. Oh, no. No, it's just Joe Kelly.
Make your reservations and have your ticket delivered to your door, absolutely free of charge. You can fly now and pay later. Remember, fly with Royal Air Coach to California for only $75. Fly Royal to Miami for only $34. Fly Royal Air Coach to anywhere in the world. Save money. There are no lower rates. Call Miss Ray now and call collect. Royal Air Coach Agency, Hotel Bradford, Boston. That's Hancock 66640. That number again for air reservations to anywhere. Royal Air Coach Agency, Hancock 66640, and ask for Miss Ray. Rates are plus tax from New York. There are no lower rates.
Now I see the poultry show representative is here. He has something to give to us.
Oh, just...
And if, thank you. Oh, a working press pass to the poultry show.
Thank you, Joe Kelly.
That's swell, Joe.
You know what that allows you to do? That allows you to pluck chickens in between your working hours.
How about that? All right, what is it, Joe?
I prefer that to Mary Margaret Magoon.
I would prefer...
What do we see when we go to this poultry show, Joe, besides a lot of
bunch
hens
of chickens?
And chickens?
When
chickens.
Is it, anyway?
Oh,
can you see where it is?
What's that?
Starts tomorrow, continues through till when?
I can't read it, Joe.
Yeah.
It has that green ink on white, which, of course, is just sturdy for me to read.
Yeah, I thought you'd come out with... little bit of envious demonstration you generally do each year.
Are they having any of those chickenless wings being displayed this year that we try to develop?
Why don't you get along down, boys, and make a report to us come Friday on what you do see down there and enjoy.
Okay, Hoppy, we certainly will.
Try to make that. That's a good deal.
Now, let's see. That's the poultry show.
Where at?
I don't know where it is.
The mechanics building? They're going to... the poultry?
Yeah.
Well...
When?
The chickens know best, I guess. They'll be up there, these chickens, the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. And that's the only show where they get a handshake for laying an egg.
That's right. Fresh chickens every performance.
To lay an egg is to really be a star up there.
And you do it every...
Yeah, we do it here every afternoon.
No, don't be a star.
Thought you'd say that. Now, The Life and Loves of Linda Lovely, written
program.
For radio
now,
by...
This program here, we...
Oh, it's falling in around our heads, but...
Well, we look better this way.
A. Carrington Lump and starring Marsha Van Allshot as Linda, Sherman L. Sturley as David. Uncle Eugene is portrayed by Horace K. Winterhalter. And...
Down, boy.
Lucky the Hen will be portrayed by Lucky the Hen today. It's late afternoon as David and Linda sit contemplating the events of the past few days in River's Mouth as the telephone rings.
I'll get it.
Hello? Yes. Yes, this is David Lovely.
Wait a minute, David.
I know I sound strange, but David is sick. I was the only one they could send over from casting, Governor. Yes, I do portray that role on the Mary Mack stage show every morning.
Oh, David.
Yeah, 850, yeah.
David.
Yes, my dear.
Who is it?
What's that?
I say, who is it on the phone?
I believe it was from a lawyer Tucker, Governor.
Oh, and what did he say?
Oh, Governor Tucker, lawyer. Don't know just which.
Oh, you're perishable.
Well, I don't know who it was from.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Hmm.
But, Linda.
Yes?
Where is Uncle Eugene?
I don't know. He left this morning.
Oh, hello, folks.
Here he is now. Uncle Eugene, I'd like you to meet the new David.
How are you, Dave? Pretty fair, Governor.
Huh?
And you?
Well, I'm fine.
Well, look, gentlemen, I just saw...
Is Paul going to be on the show every day, Linda?
I don't know.
Where did he come from, anyway?
He's on some other program. I think he's on Mr. Chameleon.
Well, I'd recognize him anywhere because I'm in the audience.
Yes, of course.
The audience always recognizes Mr. Chameleon.
Yes. Did you notice Lucky the Hen walking through the kitchen this morning?
No, I didn't.
Well, he's out... Or she is out there now.
Would you bring him in? Bring her in?
Yeah, come on in here.
All right, Governor.
Bring in the hen.
Righto. Here she is now.
Now, you see, Uncle Eugene, this is...
Why, isn't that a nice-looking hen, though?
Yes, it's wingless, you see.
Yes?
So that we have more meat.
Oh, I see. But you wouldn't want to eat this poor little hen with the sad brown eye.
Well, no, that's we've become so attached to her that I don't believe we will ever have a nice chicken stew.
I see you are attached to her there.
Yes.
It's going to be a surprise when she runs out into the kitchen.
I must go with her, eh?
Huh?
Huh? Yeah.
I say, I don't make much sense out of all this.
Will you be quiet, David? We're talking with Uncle Eugene.
You seen Mrs. Johnson, Dave, anywhere?
Who?
Mrs. Johnson. I don't suppose the new David has met her, Uncle Eugene.
I don't believe I have, Governor.
Well, Mrs. Johnson is a neighbor of ours. And you won't believe this, I'm sure. But Uncle Eugene walks up the side of her house every afternoon.
Every afternoon, come 3:30.
Yes, he puts on suction shoes.
It's kind of a ritual with me.
Yes, of course it is.
I don't walk up at 3:15 or 4:15, but 3:30.
Yes.
I'm down by 20 minutes before.
Are you really that quickly?
By tea time.
Wonderful.
I say, that sounds rather foolish to me.
Well, do you have
any... Governor?
Do you have any suction shoes?
No, I don't.
Uncle Eugene, do you have an extra pair that would fit...
Yes,
this
I believe I do.
Well, why don't the both of you run off down the street?
Okay.
And climb Mrs. Johnson.
Come on, Dave.
Right out.
Meanwhile, I'll just sit here and talk to Lucky the Hen. Lucky, look at me. How long have you been with us now? 12 years.
I love this part.
12 years. Thank you. And never once have you strayed from our home. And I... What did you say? Don't you dare say that again. Don't worry the censor. Don't worry the censor like that.
Well, so Linda is left alone with Lucky the Hen as David and Uncle Eugene go scampering off down the street. Tomorrow we'll hear Lucky say... So be sure and listen tomorrow for the next episode in the life and loves of Linda Lovelay, written for radio by A. Carrington Love.
Now, the Sturdley Macaroni Works presents their a cappella choir. The Macaroni Company sponsored this last 5 minutes of the show, and they've brought in their a cappella choir made up of employees.
Yeah, well...
And under the able direction of Sir Sidney Crumlin.
Yeah, well, I was afraid you weren't going to introduce me there, right?
Sir Sidney, I wonder, could you tell us just how the Macaroni folks got around to starting up this a cappella choir?
Well, all the time there, down at Macaroni Works, they were making this macaroni, the spaghetti, and all that stuff there.
Ravioli. Yeah,
ravioli, and everybody was there standing around pulling this stuff and pulling a few strings here and there. And they were laughing and very, very happy to each other. And pretty soon they began to sing. One fella whistled. Who started to whistle.
Uh-huh, surely.
Somebody else started to sing.
Uh-huh, then...
And then it turned up that there was an organ and piano player there in the combination, and they made up this big employees group, which is wonderful thing.
Well, didn't your feature musician take a piece of wet spaghetti and string it taut across the top of a drinking cup?
That's right, thereby creating a very embarrassing effect.
Every time he plucks it, it makes a unique sound.
Yeah, well,
like a vest popping.
That's right, but we don't use that in this particular arrangement which we're going to play here.
I see. Well, just tell us briefly the song the group is going to sing.
That.
And so forth.
This is a little song from theater down our way. We got the idea for this little production because we say we looked up at the theater the other day and we saw this thing, you see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's up on the marquee. It says Mother Wore Tights and Selected Shorts.
Sure.
And this song was from one of those pictures, and we have arranged this special version of it, I think.
All right. One, two, three. Nicely done, gentlemen. You do, of course. Beautiful thing. Let's see.
That about winds up the prepared portion of the program. We're a little bit early today. We didn't realize that this wouldn't time out just exactly right.
Well, fortunately enough, it gives us a few extra moments to talk with you this afternoon.
Thank you for all of those fine cards and letters that you've been sending in. They've been wonderful.
Yes, they have. Looks like...
You don't close the organ until after the program. You still have the theme to go.
It's a roll-top organ, friends. I know you haven't seen one since the turn of the century.
Well, he uses that for a desk during the daytime, you know.
It looks like an old desk, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The roll-top and all. And it's been played and has it half-closed now in preparation for the closing theme. Well, I guess we're going to get going.
Don't have any guests coming up tomorrow, do we? Jesse Crawford or anybody like that?
Jesse Crawford and Larry Green. Hello, Larry.
We have to be off here because Ray Dory wants to say something about his evening
good
program.
Good afternoon, Larry. And so on, too.
This has been the shortest hour program in radio.
25 minutes. Randy and Bob and Ray will be heard again tomorrow at much this very same hour. Right if you get work and hang by your thumbs. I'm sure you'll agree it's milder, much milder.
See if you can make it tomorrow, friends. We'll be looking for you down 850 Radio Lane.